Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay. How do we feel? You're back. Our tech difficulties are done.
Oh my gosh. I know. I was so upset, man. That ruined my day. Not being able to do it because I was like, I got up. I like made sure we watched the episode, the whole thing. And technology really, sometimes it be your own people.
It happens, but we're back today. So how do you feel about the season so far, Kay? Because we haven't gotten, you know, we're back here, but we haven't gotten your perspective. What did you think of episode one? Just a brief, you know, feeling on it.
Well, I
feel like... Bachelorettes.
I know, and I'm really nervous about the season because I feel like there's so many parts of things that we don't get to see or, like, decisions on how the girls are going through this process, because like last night, for example, you know, Rachel sent Jordan V home. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'm like, well, is Gabby cool with that? You know, like, how do we make these decisions? And if they've already talked about it, why aren't we in on that?
It's funny because I didn't think of that until they got to the rose ceremony and they were like, okay, these are men that both Gabby and, you know, Rachel want to stay.
Yeah.
But then episode one, Jordan V was like, I'm here for you. He made his choice, you know?
Yeah.
So you go, okay. You know, it is interesting that these things kind of are, you know, it's almost like the unsaid, you know, labels that kind of go on, you know? Like, you know, where he comes in and he's like, I'm here for you. I showed you my funny car. And, you know, now we go on a date and it's like, let's see if this is someone that you can be serious about. And she was like, no. And it's like at that point, and that was kind of what I talked about this last week, but that was kind of the point of like, these guys were backing off in week one because you could tell they didn't want to like, you know, lose out for choosing the wrong road.
Because the second you sort of make that decision, you're kind of stuck. That's you. You've made your decision.
Well, we kind of see it later in this episode a couple times. This kind of, you know, pokes its head out, and you know, it's like, you know, you become a Gabby guy or a Rachel guy, mm-hmm. and even Gabby and Rachel are trying to suss out who goes to who and who they're allowed to go for versus who they should back off from. Like, this seems to be the game within the game, which I think is interesting. I think it makes it fun. Like, the dynamic is fun. I don't think. You know, there was a lot to be made, and I thought this was not really, you know, I thought this was a distrust of the female leads, but and their capacity of being able to like be adults and figure this out together. Like, you know, but honestly, they've, you know, this is kind of how it felt like it was going to go. Like two friends figuring it out, like what's going to happen, you know, what will happen.
It definitely made it interesting. And I think, regardless of how awkward things are watching it, because I'm sitting there, you know, watching them flirt with the same guy or seeing Gabby look over when Rachel's with, you know, mm-hmm. Mario. And in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, that's so I get like secondhand embarrassment or just like I know how that would feel. Mm-hmm. But it does make for good TV. And it sort of feels I know you and I briefly talked about it for like 2 seconds last week, even though it wasn't on the podcast. But it feels like an idea that was half thought through. They're like,
well,
you know what, two bachelorettes, this will be great, and then we'll just figure out how we're going to do this. No rose ceremony the first week because we're actually unsure how we're going to do it still.
Very little direction, very little, you know, even when Jordan gets sent home, it's not like Jesse came out and was like, okay, also Gabby. You know, there was no process mm-hmm. to it. You know, like, and even the rose ceremony they did this week where they go, okay, these are for both. You know, these are roses given from both women. It's like, was this decided 5 minutes before? Were they like, oh, we'll just go with these are from both of us. You know, like
that's
it's like
what,
they
that's
were.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, it felt like they were filling out the card that goes with the gift 5 seconds before they gave the card that went with the gift. You know, like
this will definitely be an interesting season. So should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get right into it.
All right. So first, the guys participate in a Speedo talent pageant.
Rachel takes Jordan V on a zero gravity plane ride, which doesn't quite take off.
Nate gets his rose after a helicopter ride with Gabby.
Chris starts talking about fantasy suites and the Bachelorette kicks him to the curb.
And finally, the women find some common ground in the first rose ceremony. All right, so name that episode.
I called it Air and Clown Show. Instead of like an air and water show, air and clown show, because both Gabby and Rachel did, you know, dates in the sky, so to speak, and then we end with the clown show at the end.
I mean, they're back to the original OG bachelor dates. Let's pick them up in a helicopter. Let's put them on a yacht. Let's take them up into the sky. Yeah, we're back to that.
What did you call it?
I just called it, instead of Bachelor Mansion, I called it Frat Mansion, because really the beginning of the episode when they showed all those guys in there, I guess I did not realize how many guys were on this season, but at the same time, I think it's not too many more than the usual season. I think it's just since they didn't have a rose ceremony the first night, there's so many extra. And with like the cooking and the morning and the eggs and I'm like, oh my God.
Well, it's interesting that if you've watched this show for a number of years, you're used to what the house looks like with a certain number of people in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're used to seeing a couple in that room, a couple in that room, a couple in that room. And now because they only cut 3 out of the 32, you go, oh my God, this is like a bar I would never want to hang out at. It's like it's a bar that's too full.
Too full. And seeing the guys, you know, I think Logan was the one who was like sleeping on some sort of like outdoor couch. And I mean, what?
I mean, this is one of those things where it's like, if you're an older guy going in the house, like you're like, fine, I'll have to sleep in a bunk bed for a few weeks. And then the first night they're like, yeah, we don't have enough beds. I'd be like, I'm out. Sorry, I got to go. I tried. I thought I could do this. I can't.
I don't have it in me. I mean, I am also a person, I think, I mean, obviously we're both at that age, but like I will not go to any sort of traveling thing with my friends if there's not like bedroom for me.
Oh, if there's no bedroom.
I don't need to have my own bed. I need, but it needs to have like, if we're sharing, it needs to be like a queen.
That's the thing. It makes me wonder what, you know, like, and I don't think of like the guys in their like early 20s, I'm like, listen, this is a shore house. This is, you know, sleep where you fall situation. You're trying to figure out your job. You're trying to figure out your career. You put your life on hold. You go, what's 2 months in the grand scheme of life? This is, what am I going to do with it? I think of the men in their 30s. I think of the guy from Boston. Like, what happened in his life that he's like, yeah, this is a good, you know, couple months to take away from things. This is where I should be. You know, every scene, if I was on this show at 37, every, you know, talking to the camera moment with me would be like me going back and forth. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know. I think this is a mistake.
Is love worth it?
Is it? Yeah. I should just be on Tinder. What's going on? You know, it definitely did have the frat feel to it with that big crew.
Big frat house. Yes. Big frat house energy. Okay, so we're starting off with the Speedo pageant, which, I mean, episode one, they're not fucking around. They're like, let's lean into this. And
well, I like to, you know, now the newish thing that they kind of do is they take us inside. Well, because there's two of them, the Bachelorette Mansion becomes its own kind of like home and like area for us to peek in on. You know, when it's one, you kind of get the leads quarters every now and again during, you know, hot button issues. Now we get to go from, we kind of pop back and forth. We pop from you know, the frat mansion to the ladies' lair. It's on the top of a mountain.
Yeah.
It looks like an evil, you know, command base looking down from the Hollywood Hills. You know, it's just very...
Yeah, some like castle.
Yeah, it's very Castle Grayskull.
Which is really interesting because I think we got it maybe during Clayton's season where we kind of saw him staying somewhere else.
Matt James had his own compound within the Nemecolon or whatever.
Yeah. I guess I never thought about where the leads are staying. Like, they're not in the same house. Like, I never thought about that.
Yeah. And we go into this, like, you know, another mansion, another Spanish style piazza looking mansion. And then they're discussing and to your point, Kay, when you're like, there's so many people here that are still here because of the non-rose ceremony. The, you know, you have so many, you have, what are you going to do with 29 guys? How are you going to meet 29 guys better than the cocktail bar? How, and they're like, and it was funny because they were like, we wanted to have a pool party. We wanted to see these guys' abs. And I always think that's funny when they're, you know, the differences between the Bachelorette and the Bachelor. You can, and I had a I said this on the live stream, just saying like they can get away with so much more on The Bachelorette.
So much more.
And people are like, and everyone always references like, well, they had a lingerie pillow fight. And it's like, no, stop.
Shut up.
They also had naked dodgeball on The Bachelor at one season. You know, the idea, I mean, Rachel and Gabby are like, we need to figure out an event where we can see them with their shirts off. The idea that two men...
I mean, said it out loud.
Right. They said it out loud. They're like, we got to see abs. And I'm sitting there... I'm not mad at that. I think it's funny. It's great. They're right. I want to see the guys shirtless, too. As a straight guy, I'm sitting there being like, yeah, take the shirts off.
Yeah.
But it is funny to think that if it was two bachelors who were splitting the season being like, how, like, you know, conspiring...
I want to see some tits.
How are we going to see some titty? You know, it just wouldn't, the idea that it would be received the same way or that we've received it the same way.
It would hit different.
It's crazy. Yeah, you'd be like, wait a minute, these two guys, why do they have notebooks out drawing titties and plans to see more titties? What's going on?
I know. So they came up with this sort of talent show type of thing where they all had to wear Speedos and then perform some sort of talent. And I mean... I guess Logan went first, and his idea was kind of, it wasn't like his talent wasn't amazing. He could do the worm. I can't do the worm, but whatever.
I thought it was a good choice.
Yeah, and he was like, before the butterfly comes, whatever, the worm, and he goes into it. I'm like, that's great.
It's love great. That. You know, the key to this, because what they're doing, if you want to think of it a little deeper than we want to see guys' abs and make fools of them, is they're like, okay, let's take confident dudes who are good looking, doing something they're comfortable doing while making them uncomfortable. Yeah. So they're like, we'll put them in Speedos, make them a little uncomfortable, and then have them show off their confident, comfortable self while in a comfortable situation, which that is a good way to meet someone. That is a good way to find out, you know, the vulnerability in someone, their sense of humor, like Logan coming out and being able to like think, you know, because you do what Logan did was right. You have to have that one thing. You got to hit your mark and then get out, because we see later Chris does
linger.
He's dribbling a basketball. He's singing songs earnestly. He's doing, you know, you got to go set up, punchline, done, out. You gotta hit your mark.
Dust your hands off real quick, because the second you start lingering, things get awkward. You know, everybody starts feeling uncomfortable, not just the bachelorettes, but like the entire room.
Totally. And you could see which ones were working, which ones weren't. Like, there was the guy, the Fabio guy, that like started telling him like how to like do, you know,
something about mortgage.
Yeah, he's like, I can help you refinance, which shows you he has no personality. If your whole personality is the career you've taken on, then you have no personality at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, these things do tell you about someone. I, you know, to me, putting him in a Speedo, like, I don't know who laughs at that joke. Like, I'm like, okay, they're good looking guys in Speedos. Like, to me, like, I don't know. I'm fine with it, because I just think it's like, Yeah, you're trying to make them
Europe,
uncomfortable.
And those are the only bathing suits any of the guys are wearing.
Listen, I just ordered my Speedo for my European vacation myself. I'm ready to go. I got my my nut huggers ready to go.
I think it was a fun way to look at all the guys. I cannot stand. You know what? No, I don't want to say I can't stand it, but I think the meatball stuff was gross. First of all,
yeah. Well, this also again, they have
a
the
running
one
long
shot
joke.
Yeah, it's like jokes work once, then they get tiring, and then maybe sometimes they get to come back again. If you annoy people enough with the joke, it becomes funny again. The problem with Meatball Guy is like, dude, we got it. You got to have a second act. It's you know,
something else, anything else.
If your second act is the same as the first act, you got nothing. If your second act is, let me tell you what I do for a living, you got nothing. Logan went from chicks to doing the worm. Yeah, sure, he's still in the living, you know, creature family.
Creatures.
But he's doing something, but he's doing movements. He's, you know, this was...
Yeah.
I think this is one of those events that you go, it's stupid... But it's stupid for a purpose, which made sense.
Yeah. Speaking of Chris and the singing thing, have you ever had a girl like sing to you like in an intimate setting? Like it was you and her and she was like, I want to sing a song. Like, do you know what I mean?
I think I give off enough of a judgmental personality that would be the biggest mistake someone could, like they would know better. If we've gotten to that point, they're like, and they're in their head going, maybe I should sing to him. They'd be like, oh, no. This is going to be a bit at some point. Have you ever had a guy sing to you?
Yeah. And it it was tough.
How did that happen?
We were at his place and he has a piano and he was like, so I sing, and I was like, oh, really? And you play the piano?
Hold
like,
on.
Yeah. He was like,
hold
I'll
on.
Show you.
He brings you home, and he's like, so I sing? Like, I mean, if you're home with him, like, at that point, he has, like, were you waiting for something, like, a kiss to happen? And he was like,
well, like,
oh, let me sing?
We'd already been making out. Like, that's why I'm, like, home. With, like, we're there.
Sure.
And then the piano's, like, literally right in his bedroom. Mm. And he was like, you know, I also... thing, and I'm like, cool, like that's like, love that. And then he was like, let me just play you something. I'm like, bro, it's like 2 a.m. don't play me anything,
right?
Like, I'm drunk, like I'm here for
and you've made it
thing.
You've put this away for the next time you're trying to convince me to come home, you know, like
and it ruined it. And
really immediate
it's not like, it's not that he like, I don't care if you're a good singer, but this is like, you know, if you go to karaoke or if you're out with your, you know, whatever. But in like an intimate setting where I don't know you and you're trying to like perform for me, that I'm immediately like, ugh.
If you're going to sing earnestly, you better be so good that it's
so
like
good.
Actually shocking, or you have to go funny singing. Chris went too earnest, like the guy you're talking about, and it wasn't good enough to outweigh how awkward that is to do it's a concert of one. It's like telling a joke to one person versus a group of people. Like, you know, if the group gets it, the one person isn't as awkward. If one person doesn't get it, you fucked. It's over. And I've always had the dream of being able to see a piano and play one song. Like, I always wanted to be able to play one song.
They can just, like, pick up and go.
Like, I want to be at a party. There's a piano out, and I can play one amazing song, like, perfectly. And people are like, oh, my God, I didn't know you play. And I go, no, I not a lot. And they go, play again. And I go, I can't. No more. And I just do the one song and done.
Literally can't.
Because I only know one song. That's my dream.
No, that would be a good way to do it, because then all of a sudden the girl's like, wow, that's so amazing.
Oh my God.
Just did it. Didn't stay too long. Again, punchline, out.
Yeah, out. And they'd be like, play at our wedding. And I'd be like, well, I'm sorry to let you know. I only got one song. Yeah. So the pageant winners get the group date. I don't even know who won the pageant. Like, the idea that there were winners and losers in this event. I just know that you know, it was a big group that ends up back at the, I think it was at the Bachelorette Mansion at their house. And it leads to, you know, basically Rachel and Gabby having two different nights kind of in the beginning.
Yeah. And that's when we sort of start seeing the guys either choosing their sides or if the guys are trying to play both. Like, example, yeah. Logan immediately went to both. And then what was the other guy's name who said, sorry, I'm actually here for Gabby to Rachel. I'm looking up his name right now.
Yeah, well, that was in the beginning. It was Rachel going around kind of feeling like she was second fiddle because she immediately, the first guy she pulls over, he's like, hey, just want to be up front. I'm here for Gabby. And I thought that was like a brave moment of that guy. I thought that guy should be commended. Like, I actually was like, good for you, dude. Like, in the grand.
Yeah, not mad about that.
No, and also, like, there's no confusion on his end. I'm here because that's who I feel like I vibe with already. And, and you know, usually with someone, you can see that in the first few minutes. You can feel, you know, the attraction level very quickly. So I thought that was commendable, and I thought Rachel took that well. But then, you know, Rachel kind of went into, like, you know, it is tough when it's your first guy you pull aside and you're like, now you start freaking out. You're like, what if I connect with nobody? And then Rachel's going around and like having a lot of cousin conversations, a lot of conversations you would have with a cousin.
Okay, so this was Jason that said he was here for Gabby, which you and I really, we both liked during our recap, when we broke down the bros. We really liked Jason. He seemed genuine, good-looking dude.
He looks like Jason Segel.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, he looks like Jason Segel. Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist and Cheirosa 59 Perfume Mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 Perfume Mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BECHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. So then we flash to Gabby, who's talking with... No, then we flash to Rachel. She finally gets kind of with Logan. And Logan, he says something very specific. It was like...
She's brave.
She's brave. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, this guy, this is a man with a plan. Because he says to her, you're so brave coming back from last season, which... he could really say to either of them.
I know. And I'm like, and I thought when we saw him with Gabby later, I thought he was like, I just really wanted to tell you. I was like, oh, please say that she's brave. I was like,
I was hoping to God. And it was almost like he wrote two stories that that could have been said to either one.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, okay, I'll just, whatever's first, this will get the A story, this will get the B story. Because, to Gabby, he goes about on and on about her personality. But, like, it was all this stuff that, like, it was like first date convo that someone would use to make sure they got the second date.
Yeah.
I think you're brave.
Sort of like a show.
It was a little bit of a show. And that's where Logan... I don't trust it. And right now, if you're on TikTok, you can't avoid a San Diego woman talking about Logan and matching
okay,
with Logan.
I didn't know that yeah. this was about Logan, but I've seen multiple TikToks about
right.
like this San Diego blah blah blah, and I'm getting tagged into some. Like, I don't know. I guess I missed the whole Logan part.
I also don't care to see that stuff. Like, I don't really. I mean, like, people can be out there dating before they go on The Bachelorette, and also, like, it's a little bit of a spoiler if you're like, you know, he got in contact with me a day ago. Like, you know, can if you're out there tagging us, like, I have no interest in gossip until it's on People magazine. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you're out there tagging away, like, I that is not what gets me going for The Bachelor or Bachelorette. Like, I really have no interest in hearing Logan is the, you know, West Elm Caleb of San Diego, you know?
West Elm Caleb. Wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, that it's queuing up to be that right now.
I mean, that's what they keep doing, and I, you know, I watched one, and it was like, okay, you hooked up, you know, this guy's a player, yeah, him and the 32 other men that went on this show, like you think they went and scouted talent from the volunteers at the Boys and Girls Club? Like, what do you think is going on this show?
Right. So, I mean, what did you think about? What did you think about Logan sort of, you know, kissing both girls? And then my thought at the after, mm-hmm. like after that is Rachel told Gabby, like yes. when they were talking about how they were both into him, Rachel told Gabby, like, okay, well, I kissed him, but Gabby didn't tell Rachel.
That was actually, that's going to rear its head later. And
yeah.
I think Gabby made a mistake. She's like, it wasn't worth going into. It's worth going into. It's absolutely worth going into it.
I feel like that's something
you need to say. Yeah, and that shows how hard this is. I don't think Gabby's a bad person for not saying it. She did what she felt was right in the moment. She did what she felt was comfortable for both of them. And yeah, it's comfortable in the moment, but like, I think, you know, if you're going to do two bachelorettes, like, you got to hash out all, you know, all issues as they come out. And when she didn't say anything, you know, first of all, resent might set in for her, which it mm-hmm. would for me. I'd be like, oh, you know, whatever. Also, you take away Rachel's opportunity to like make a well-informed decision, you know?
Yes.
And exactly. you don't even get to discuss like, well, what did he say to you? What did he say to me? Is this guy a bullshit artist? Is he telling us mm-hmm. the same bullshit? Should we both pull him aside and be like, hey, we both made out with you. We're cool with this now, but like, we want to like get some answers here, you know, like, and again, there might not be answers. He might look at them and go, well, I'm playing, you know, and he does have a right to do that too. He has a right to go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out my feelings with both of you, and both of you led to a kiss. But
okay,
the way
so
it went down.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Is how do you feel about him kissing both girls within a very short amount of time? Like, do you think, I understand that he's trying to figure out how he feels with both, but do you think you kind of know? Like,
Well, you kind of know, but then you think of them. In the other, you know, them being yeah. with 30 other men, like, do they kind of know? Like, they have the right to kiss around.
Sure.
And also, the way the show's made out, like, you get down to a final four, you've kissed all four of those people. We've watched the show in the past where, you know, someone, I mean, last season, he didn't know between three of them. So, I bought that, but I also didn't buy that. You know, so I buy it from Logan, but I also don't buy it. Like, especially the way his conversations went, where he's going, you know, it felt like a guy who's trying to win more than anything.
Yes, it's about win and not like, who do I actually like more?
Yeah, because you watch Jordan V show Rachel the funny car in episode one, you go, oh, this guy's made a choice. This guy, and you look at, you know, Jason, the Jason Segel lookalike. He looks at her and goes, I got a vibe with someone else. It's not you. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's hard because, you know, so much of the arguments that happen on The Bachelor live in the land of right, but not in the land of reality. Like, mm-hmm. they're right. Like, he is right to make out with both, but it is suspect at the same time.
Yeah, I think it was mainly like watching his demeanor afterwards. Like, you kind of yes. saw him like with the guys. Like, I know he didn't say anything, but you could see just the his whole energy had changed. And like, yeah, I just made out with both girls.
He like, knew you know? He was and staying. I was like,
ew.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely felt like he took off the sheep's wool to reveal the wolf.
Yeah.
In that moment,
he did.
But let's go to the one-on-one. Rachel takes Jordan V, the drag racer, not RuPaul's Drag Race, but Funny Car Drag Racing, to do a zero gravity date. What did you think of they get in the old car? This was classic mm-hmm. Bachelorette. Old car that takes you to the runway, the tarmac, leads you to the plane, they take off, they do, and was it Nick Vial's season they did zero
yes,
gravity?
With Vanessa Grimaldi, and she yes. vomited.
Yes. that.
She vomited during yeah. that date. And I've always wanted to, like, first of all, I didn't know that they were actually up in the air.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Like, for those types of things, I thought it was just like a simulation thing, and it just takes place in a plane to make it look cool. You know what I mean? I didn't realize, I know I sound stupid, but I did not know that they go up in the air.
No, it doesn't sound stupid at all, because they don't really show it that much, and all of a sudden they're floating, and they're in what looks like a tube, because it doesn't have like the airplane seats, so you like kind of like lose yourself a little bit. But I think those, yeah. I mean, it is, you know, Vanessa isn't wrong for puking, because I think they do some like pretty wild stunts to make it go zero gravity.
Oh, I looked it up.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I need the details on this.
Yeah.
So apparently, once they get to a certain altitude, they basically like shoot the plane up and then make it go like back down really fast during a certain, so they're showing us, it looks like it's a continuous type of stream, mm-hmm. but it actually bottoms out at one point, so they have to keep doing it.
That would scare the living shit out of me.
What if you got it? Are there like safety belts somewhere, like just in case?
It shows.
They were just laying flat.
I mean, if anything, that should encourage anyone who, like, I used to be a very nervous flyer, and now I fly so much that, like, I've kind of gotten used to the noises. Mm. I know, you know, I kind of know the beats of a flight, so, like, none of it's a surprise anymore. But it should show you, if you're out there or nervous, this plane was a 747 just doing nosedives.
Yeah.
Totally cool.
It's
yeah.
not a small, it is not a small plane.
It was
plane.
A big plane, yeah.
Imagine seeing that from like, you're like, you're walking down the street and you see the plane in the air. It's just like,
yeah, right. You're like, oh my God, that plane's having issues. No, it's just two people trying to fall in love.
But I thought it was cute. Their date went over, like the plane date was a lot more romantic, obviously, than the Vanessa Nick date for multiple reasons. But well, I don't know. I thought it was sweet.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because, you know, after the plane date, I'm thinking we got a connection. I didn't really see.
Oh, my God. Same.
Right. And then, you know, you
she
get
was
to,
like, no.
Yeah. You get to the dinner. And I think she wasn't. You know what it felt like? It was, I mean, I thought it was very relatable, her plight in this situation. Nice person, not my person, is kind of the, and I, to yeah. me, that's always, AKA, I am not wet. I'm not getting
yeah,
the sexual
it's not doing
thing.
It.
It's not doing it for me. That's not to say Jordan V couldn't do it for someone, but you could tell, because when people say, they're such a great guy. Oh, I how could I dump someone who's so nice? That means they're just not feeling it sexually. It has to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's tough, but at the same time, like this is it. Like these are the decisions you're going to have to make. And so her watching her struggle with this first date so much was kind of concerning. It's like, you don't even know this dude. Like,
well,
it's chill.
Yeah, I guess to me, I felt bad for nobody involved. I, you know, Jordan's going to go back to Alpharetta, Georgia, and, you know, hook up with, you know, seven people within 10 minutes of getting home. And, you know, like Rachel, I think it's more, I think it's less about Jordan and it's more about, okay, I just went and did a group date where someone told me they're into Gabby, not me. Now I'm here with a guy who has told me he is here for me. He is, and this is what happens in relationships a lot, where you go, you know, you're out there looking for love and someone goes, here's some love. And you go, oh, well, not that not love.
That love. Literally.
And you feel incredibly guilty. And, you know, like, and I, so like, I don't think it was about Jordan as much as her going, I'm losing one that I know I've got. And, you know, on a show where you're not sure who's there, you know, quote unquote, the right reasons. I got her problem. I thought it was really funny that she lets him go in the SUV, and then they flash to her, they flash to Gabby in bed, and then they flash to Jordan. Why are they flashing to Gabby?
I don't know.
And then the band.
Right. And I, because I'm sort of thinking when this happened, I told you about this before, but I'm like, well, what does Gabby say about this?
Right.
Like, does she want to?
She lost a guy too.
But maybe this is how they're planning on doing it. And this is the way the girls are able to have full autonomy of being bachelorette. It's like, if I pick them for a one-on-one.
Yes.
Then this is my choice. Like, regardless of how you're feeling, like, this is where I get to have full say.
It's a sign-off situation. Hey, my one-on-one. And I wish they let us into that, because if they had shown that, now the game becomes clearer. Because I do agree with what you're saying. Basically, they have a meeting where Rachel goes, Jordan V, I'm going to take on the one-on-one. I'm going to figure out if he's my guy. Do you have any interest? And she's like, no, this is it's you or it's nobody. And then, you know, I'm sure Gabby did the same thing with Nate. I'm going to do a date with Nate. It's either him, and then, you know, Rachel goes, yeah, it's yours or it's nobody. And I wish they would show that as part of the game, because that could create better dates in the future. It could create, like, two-on-two dates. You know what I mean? Where you could get inventive with it from there, if that's what we're establishing as the game.
Yeah. Okay. Because I totally agree. I think we're being kept out of some of the strategy or planning with this, and we're like, I don't know, I feel out of it. I feel like I'm not seeing everything that I need to see.
Like, I'm willing for us to believe that's what's going on because it makes it simpler, but we actually don't even know. We have no, you know, there's been no guidance, but consider, you know, it's kind of like we have to, like, consider the ending the rose ceremony to explain things for what happened before the rose ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Speaking of one-on-one dates, we go to Gabby. She's got a one-on-one with Nate, who we find out has a daughter.
Yeah, that was interesting. But it made sense because earlier on in the episode, we hear the first rumblings of this Chris guy talking about, you know, fantasy suites, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I remember Nate speaking up and being like, these women could be the mother of your children. Like, why are you talking about them? Like, what, you can't be giving them ultimatums like this, et cetera. And so now we find out he has a daughter, and it's like, it's because he's been through stuff like this.
And it's also, it shows he's thinking of this in different ways. You know, like, guy who's like, I don't know who I'm fucking, you know, if they're fucking other people, is guy without a kid. Guy who's like, I got to figure out if they're going to be a cool stepmom, is, you know, they're just on different wavelengths. And I mean, that's like the kind of the interesting part about The Bachelorette more than The Bachelor is, like, The Bachelor, you kind of know everyone's there on a similar wavelength. I'm here for love. I'm here for, you know, maybe I'm here for my TikTok or Instagram, but I'm also here because I, you know, there's just fewer reasons. The Bachelorette, you could have guy there for Instagram, guy there for his daughter, guy there for mm-hmm. a stepmom, guy there for fucking, guy there for, you know,
so many different reasons.
So many different reasons. So, but to me, Nate, you know, Nate with a safety pin in his ear, is this something you're seeing in the dating world, Kay? Is dangly earring?
Yeah.
What is that? Are you seeing it? Feels LA. I don't know.
I've definitely seen Gen Z. I've definitely seen the earrings. I see earrings a lot. Not necessarily like with every guy, but they are more prominent now. And I'm sort of noticing, and I'm like, I have those.
Right. Right.
I'm sharing earrings.
Him and Alec, I think his name's Alec, has big earring guys, the dangly earrings. I mean, this guy's wearing office supplies on his head.
Yeah.
I mean, I called it a paper clip, and everyone's like, it's a safety pin. And it's like, okay, relax. It's office the
same
supplies.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. He has a Staples Superstore on his head, okay? It's pretty ridiculous.
My first instinct, my first reaction when, you know, Nate came over, met Gabby at their place, was like, Rachel's there. Like, it's just like, why is Rachel at the beginning of their date?
Sure.
She's like, do you want champagne? She's like, sure. No.
Rachel having a drink. Well, I kind of liked it from the sense of like, how do you deal with my friends? Are you cool? You know, are you bypassing Rachel? Are you kind of like, you know, hey, I'm here for this date. You know, it's like, you know, it's like having a pickup. You know, it's a little old school. It felt to me, I understand why it might be awkward, but it also like felt like picking up, you know, the woman at her parents' house, like, you know, and I'm off for the date. You know, like the weirdest part was Nate trying to pick up Gabby and it not going very well.
Nah.
It was
not.
Bad way to start. Yeah.
Really bad way to start.
See, this is why I'm not a Nate guy. Like, I don't think he's a little cheesy for me. But Gabby's kind of cheesy. So I think it kind of made sense a little bit.
Man, there's one thing that I cannot unsee with Gabby. Love Gabby, but this has taken over my mind, is that 95% of the time when she is on camera or talking to someone, she's nodding and saying yeah.
She does a lot of nodding. She's
and
like
a
nerve.
I think she's just responding. I think she's just trying to show like I'm engaged, I'm actively listening, but I cannot unsee the nodding, and it's
Gabby has a lot of tics. Gabby has I'm a Gabby fan, and this is kind of what makes her so likable. She does a lot of yesing, a lot of nodding. She also has never worn a shirt that covers both shoulders. She wears her jackets and sweaters off of a shoulder. She's never had both shoulders covered. She must have been told or believes that she's got a great clavicle, because this woman, I'm telling you, go look back. I'm now on it. She wears either a kind of a string top, or if she's wearing a jacket, the jacket is off her shoulders, never fully on.
I haven't noticed that part, but now all I'm gonna be looking at is her nodding and her shoulders.
And Gabby's the flyaway queen.
Always
wispy flyaway Gabby. Yeah, that's always got something kind of traveling on the head.
All right. So let's see here.
Go off in the helicopter. They park in a weird parking lot outside of LA, and there's a hot
tub
there.
Like in an Airbnb.
It was very bizarre.
Where are they finding these hot tubs? It must be like these random setups. It has to be at some sort of like Airbnb or
Oh, it's a production space. They just set it up. Yeah, I think they just set it up in a parking lot that they can park a helicopter in. Like, I legit, like, think there is nothing out. Like, they have production assistants that are filling a tub with hot water for them to go into, yeah. Like, bringing buckets over. Yeah.
Of course. Those poor production interns just, like, literally right. bucket by bucket, like, Cinderella. Like,
it's crazy.
Boiling the water themselves.
Yeah, right. They're heating it up on a you know, a flat top like a that you would take out to camping. Like they're
yeah. But it seems like all in all it seems like they have a lot of good chemistry. Like they got along really well.
It made sense. It wasn't off. Nate gets a rose and we come back to the house and now it's the Chris show. Chris who earlier in the show claims. Now, I have to say, Chris on its own saying that if I got to the fantasy, I wanted to run this by you.
Yeah.
I thought he was made to be evil because people didn't like him. He said a lot of the way Chris spoke beyond forget the stuff mm-hmm. about the fantasy suite, but the way Chris spoke, he sounded like an asshole. Throughout
completely
everything he said, he would say, "I'm staying until the end." He kind of took on the role of cocky guy who's yet to even speak to them. You know, it was a front. It felt like, but on its own, saying, "Hey, I wouldn't feel comfortable going to the fantasy suite with someone that's already been to the fantasy suite with other people," isn't the worst thing to say in the world. Like,
I agree.
Right?
I don't think he was talking about it specifically. Like. When I get to the fantasy suite with Gabby and Rachel, he is just saying, "This is how I feel about the fantasy suite." Like they're on a show. What are they supposed to talk about? None of these guys know each other. Right. The only thing they have in common are these two women, and they're
and
living
the
in this house.
And the show, and the show literally has a date in the calendar that says fantasy suite night. So
like,
it's not like he's assuming that they're. You know, it's not like he's assuming. Well, we're gonna fuck here. Like, no, there's a fantasy suite night. On the calendar. It's a part of the show. So to like reference it ahead of time is somewhat normal. I do yeah. think though, if I, one thing you said, he didn't say I'll definitely be there, but he did say he was saying along the way that he would definitely be going to the, he was talking in that tone.
In that tone.
But with a lot of other subjects.
It's going to be me, but.
Right. And I'm going to be here at the end and it's always going to be me. But I will say like the idea that, he believes this is his standard with sex. We let Susie have that standard. Why isn't he allowed to bring that up? And he's bringing it up earlier than Susie did, which, yeah. So, like, it's okay to kick him off if you're like, hey, my standard is that I'm going to play out my options, which is my right. And for that reason, I'm going to ask you to go home because we're obviously not a match. But to vilify him as if he's, this
some
you know,
like sex
like predator
that's like yeah talking about like no I agree I think he was I mean yes he might have like referenced or gave the inclination that it could be him mm-hmm. but in general like talking about that so then we have to decide as an audience what do we want you to bring it up at the end and then it's and then that's
sure.
the perfect time or at the beginning.
Yeah,
it's like we can't keep going back and forth on when's the right time to be bringing up how you
right.
feel about the fantasy suites.
Absolutely, and it's in you also can't say it's not time to talk about the fantasy suites. Like, well, it's the show, you know. Like I don't. It's not like he's bringing up when. If he had said when I fuck these chicks, that's not what he said. He's saying right. when the fantasy suites come, which is a part of the show. So, and again, I do think this happens when people get canceled. Like the people that already hated the person find their kind of moral high ground and they take it. So I think this is kind of what happened to Chris because Chris seemed like an asshole. Like two things can be true at the same time. In a vacuum, talking about the fantasy
yeah.
suite on day two is something I can understand, but also I can understand that Chris was kind of a dick. And they even said, even that conversation, when the guys are talking and they're like, we think you talk to us. You
he's
know?
Very controlling. Like, and
yes.
he even said during his talent, he was like, I want to show my leadership skills. Like, with
and
the
that's
whole
always
basketball
the,
and the blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. And then you have him like sort of leading this conversation about the fantasy suites. And then you have when Gabby and Rachel talk to him, he's it's very much the whole thing is like very controlling. And then yes. when he comes back and he's like, can you get this person acting as although the like acting as though the other guys are his like assistants? Can you bring Jordan B over here? I want to talk to him.
Right.
Can you grab Spencer? Thanks. Right. That'd be great. Bring him over to this room. We don't work yeah. for you.
Well, that's the thing. When Gabby and Rachel kick him off and they make it about, you know, it's about his tone. It's about the way he talks to them. It's about
yeah.
The way he's discussing an issue with them. It was also hilarious that they go, can you come talk to us? And he goes, nice to meet you. To one of them, and he's already been talking about going to the fantasy suite with them, which is like hilarious. Like
it's like, well,
you know, and yeah, when he comes back and he starts trying to assemble the, you know, he goes on a witch hunt of sorts yes. to try and talk to the people who took him out.
He literally has all of them sitting down, and he's standing. Yeah. He goes, "Okay, raise your hand if you are the one who like, ratted me out."
And I like the idea that they came over and they're like, "No, no, get this out of here!" You know, like we're not here at your meeting.
The second Gabby and Rachel, they like, "Excuse me," they like yeah. push their way through the producers and they're like, "We asked you to leave," and the guys literally go, "Oh, then all right, bye."
Yeah, why anyway. Are we talking to this guy?
Yeah, then why are we why are we doing this for?
Then we have the rose ceremony. Roses are given from both bachelorettes, as we already talked about, and Mario gets the last rose, and he kind of, as they're cheersing, he makes a comment about this. It was a tough night for me. He makes it about him, which was like very hilarious to me.
And I was worried. I mean, I knew just based on like the show and the trajectory and how things are going, like I knew he was going to stay. Like I knew Mario yes. was getting that last rose. But it sort of like it makes things just like a little interesting having them think about it. Because imagine going from first impression rose
yeah.
to being sent home.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's a fall from grace for sure. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. I totally understand that. That's and you are thinking like, how did this guy fall so far back? But then I guess because they've met, you know, a big part of it was that they had not met any of the guys yet. And that's why they didn't have the initial rose.
And I guess I forgot that or didn't know. So since there wasn't a rose ceremony the first night, those roses were canceled out. So his first impression rose was safety for almost nothing. You know what I mean? Because he got the first impression rose, but there was no ceremony. But maybe
that's
those
annoying.
Got taken away because that's usually how it goes. They have the rose ceremony.
That's a good point. I would have been like, hey, does this still count? I'm still holding
on
to
this.
Yeah,
like, we didn't get to use this.
Yeah.
Like, I still need to redeem this rose.
Let's do some weekly categories. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's play some Would You Rather.
Okay, you got one? Would you rather be Rachel's co-pilot or Gabby's cheer teammate?
So what is Gabby's cheer teammate? I wasn't sure.
Isn't she's like a professional? She was like a professional cheerleader.
Oh yeah. I mean, I would all. I to me, Gabby's a team player. She
yeah.
showed it. I mean, her not saying anything about kissing Logan. Like, I do think it was a mistake, but I do think it came from the nicest of places. Like,
I mean, she even said, "What did she say?" She was like, "You know, I made this decision to." It wasn't like support, but like to give her, like just to protect her, like sort of these,
yeah,
just very much like protecting and type of language for Rachel, which I really love about Gabby.
Yeah, and definitely a teammate to the end. Like, you know, mm-hmm. Rachel feels like, you know, even in this show, it's, you know, to not, pun intended, flighty a little bit, not really realizing. You know,
other people are involved.
Well, she did even say in this episode, she goes, I finally feel like the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, Rachel's on the Rachel show. Gabby seems to be on the dual Bachelorette show a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I have a different hypothetical. Are you ready?
Yeah.
And it's a take on Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Love this.
Okay. Instead of fuck, marry, kill, it's they go to the fantasy suite. So on night one, you meet these three people and you have to guarantee where they go. So,
oh, love this.
Yes. So they go to the fantasy suite, they go to homecoming, or they're ejected from the show.
Okay.
So it's fantasy suite, homecoming, you know, luggage taken away.
Yeah.
So you meet these three people on the show. Someone who has a admitted fuck buddy at home. This is a story from last season. On Clayton season, there was a woman who said she had a fuck buddy at home and it wasn't serious. And then she got kicked off the show.
Right.
So, okay, so you meet someone with a fuck buddy at home, they admit to it, or someone who will end it if you fuck someone else in the fantasy suites, a la Chris, or someone who's considered the healthy one in the house.
Oh.
So who do you send to, who do you send to fantasy suites? Who do you send directly to homecoming? Who do you send directly home?
Okay, so I would send directly home. I'm so toxic. The healthy one in the house, because I just feel like immediately
gone.
Not fun.
Gone. They're up at 5 a.m.
Not fun.
They're yeah. known. Everyone's like, yeah, they're the ones making smoothies in the morning. They're always
the
up having a
going.
Run. Yeah. Okay. So they're
home.
Sent home immediately. Now, okay, between yeah. the person with the fuck buddy and the person who has rules for the fantasy suite. Who?
Okay. Okay. Then I would do the rules for the fantasy suite would be my fantasy suite, because what are you going to do after? Like,
yeah,
it's done.
Okay.
And then I would do homecoming to the guy who had like a fuck buddy at home.
Okay. I
think
listen.
That's, I think that's like the strategic choice, mm-hmm. I think. What about
I'm
you?
Okay. So I'm kicking off. I'm ejecting. The luggage is getting taken away from the person who has rules for the fantasy suite.
Okay.
I'm letting the healthy lifestyle person meet my family, because maybe they'll change my life for the better and I can kind of see if they can do that. And maybe I'll make a change. And maybe my disgustingness will rub off on them. Okay, so maybe we meet in the middle. And then
all of a sudden they gain like 20 pounds.
Yeah, they gain 20, I lose 20, we meet in the middle. Okay. The fantasy suite is the person with the fuck buddy, because they have the most... To me, they have the most rational relationship with sex. So mm-hmm. so I would like them to be a part of that.
That's a good choice. These are good choices.
So that was fun. We should play that again. There's got to be different. I was trying to think of different archetypes for the show.
I know. That was really good.
Fantasy, homecoming, luggage gone. That's
yeah.
the game.
Okay, so...
Oh, and if you guys have one, send them into the Bachelor Pod Instagram account. DM them in.
Okay, so who are your top three men right now?
I got Eric with an H, because Eric with an H we didn't see much of, but when we did see him, they're cuddling on the couch. So you know this guy's making moves.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing, you know, was it with Gabby or Rachel? I don't even know who, but they're talking about his haircut, and I think it was Gabby.
I think it was Gabby too, yeah. Because they were laying on the ground. And
yes.
I thought that was really weird. I was like, get her off the ground. she's in a ball gown.
She's in a ball gown with
she's
strapless ball
rocks.
Gown. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I had Nate because the date went really well. I had Logan because he's made out with both. And then I also had Trent because we didn't see him at all, but he seemed to have such an effect on Rachel that he got the first impression rose that didn't matter. Isn't that Trent?
Tino. So. Yeah. Yeah, those are good. I mean, I had Nate also. I had Logan also. Mm-hmm. But I also had Mario. I think Mario's going to be a little... I think there's going to be some tug of war with Mario.
Yeah. He's definitely a character. And he also did the thing where he did the I want to put you through a workout, and then he just squatted Rachel, which I, you know, to me, if you make a move to pick a woman up, you better nail it. And Nate didn't, and Mario did. So I was happy for him.
All right. So what about your IG rising star?
Who did you have?
So I put Quincy. who was in that beautiful light blue suit.
Quincy looks good at all times.
Looks good. And so what I'm thinking is, I was like, oh, this guy's going to be great on Instagram. He's going to be doing men's fashion, this, that. I think I see him as having some sort of successful IG.
I totally agree with you. I have agreed on Quincy. I had Gabby's reactions. I have a feeling Gabby's facial reactions are going to become memes for the rest of our lives.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think that's coming.
That's true. Villain of the week. I mean, I think, obviously, Chris is the villain, essentially, mainly just because, like we said, like the way he was talking, it's very condescending, very controlling. It's too early for that.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, I'm with you, obviously. But I also had Logan isn't the villain yet, but Gabby is going to be the reason Logan becomes the villain. So I have Gabby as this week's villain. So, like, it's like one of those butterfly effect things. Like, if Gabby had said something tonight, we would have hashed out Logan as a person. If Gabby had looked at Rachel and was like, we both made out, let's figure this out, let's get it done, then maybe this doesn't become an issue. But because Gabby said nothing, Logan will become a villain, which means Gabby is the villain tonight.
I see that. I mean, because, yeah, that's... Gabby not saying anything still feels weird, but...
It's a little bizarre. I mean, she knows she's on TV. I mean, she's done the show.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Rachel found out last night that Gabby also made out with him.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, Paradise picks. I have Jacob, which is the Fabio guy. Mm-hmm. I have Jordan V. I think Jordan V will show up in Paradise. And then Meatball. Meatball's great for Paradise. He already has he already has his intro.
You're right. Meatball.
He already has his meatballs.
He'll be juggling meatballs on top of his Nona. Yeah, it's definitely coming. I had the Boston guy just because every time the Boston guy was on camera, I laughed. He's the one that was stuffing his Speedo.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He's just such a character. He's such a Boston guy. He's 36. I mean, he shouldn't be on this show. If he's willing to go on this show at 36, he's willing to go on Paradise at 37. And I want
to
see him.
He's willing to do anything.
Yeah.
Period. All right, so Cringe Harrison Award this week. I have to say, this Ryan, so at the end of the rose ceremony when they sent all the guys home, one of the guys they sent home was this guy, Ryan, who...
Okay, I missed this.
Okay, so he's an investment banker. Oh, he's the Boston guy.
Oh, okay.
Ryan's the Boston guy. LOL. Yeah. I'm like, Cringe Harrison. So he gets sent home, and he was so dramatic about it. He was like, I didn't realize you could develop feelings this quickly and this intensely. And he was like, I'm really just bummed. And I'm like, what?
I don't think he's ever dated a woman. I think he's actually just been hooking up in Boston and for like over 15 years. And now he's like, oh, this is what dating is? Like, to him, this is more serious than anything he's ever concentrated on.
Yeah. So I thought that was just like so weird watching him have sort of not a meltdown, but like was feeling such a type of way because he was sent home. Not just like, well, anyways, bye. But man, these feelings were so intense. I didn't realize.
I only thought you could fall in love with a large regular from Duncan. I didn't think. Mm-hmm. I'd fall in love ever again. There was a scene where everyone stands up to Chris and Nate. I think Nate's a nerd, and I think it was funny to watch Nate try to tough talk, and then he had literally the whole cast and production crew standing behind him.
He's like, you guys got this?
Yeah, right.
He's like, I'm going to say something, but like, you're with me, right?
It's time for you to go. And then behind him, it's like 17 people. And I just thought it was so funny. He's like Chris Evans. He's like, Avengers, assemble. You know.
All right. And who gets your rose this week?
Gabby's shoulders.
I love that we both have very similar things. Mine, Gabby's stylist. She looks great.
Gabby does look great.
I haven't loved some of Rachel's outfits. Nothing to do with her. I just don't like the outfit.
No, Rachel's, Gabby likes to show a shoulder. Rachel likes to wear safari chic, button up dresses with collars. It's a lot of Troop Beverly Hills. I don't know. It's not, there's something off.
We need something else.
Yeah.
They need to get on the same page. But all right.
Yeah, that was our episode. Fun episode.
That was our episode.
We'll be back next week, right, Kay?
Yeah, can't wait to see how everything goes down. Now that we've been past the first rose ceremony, we've kind of gotten like at least a little bit of a play out of how things are going to go.
We got our crew.
We got our crew.
Everyone has a bed.
I know. Everybody is. They're probably just like thrilled that they don't have to sleep. Like, Logan's like, thank God I don't have to sleep on that day bed anymore.
Of course.
All right. So just in case you guys aren't following us yet, make sure you're following us on Instagram at The Bachelor, on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. Tag us in your Instagram stories if you listen to the episode.
Yeah, let us know.
Share it. Tell your friends about it. And you can follow me at K York City.
I'm at Jared Freed.
All right. And we will see you next week.
The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Chris Burns. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and at Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com. Betches.